Thank you so much, Fran, and thank you, Judy, for asking me. My name's Patty. I am a compulsive eater, and I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be a compulsive overeater. Judy, I put some pictures of myself in your phone. I don't know if you could share them or not, but they're there if you somehow could get them on the screen, that's fine. Okay, so I've been a member of Overeaters Anonymous since 1996, and I got here through the back door because I entered a fellowship called Al-Anon in 1986. So I was in that program for 10 years before I found OA. So I had a good understanding of the steps and how they worked, and meetings and anonymity. And the problem was I just had a problem with my weight, and I did not know how to get rid of it. And I was at an Al-Anon meeting one day, and I saw a friend in that group who I hadn't seen in a while, and she had lost a considerable amount of weight. And I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "Oh, I tried OA." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, when do they meet?" And she told me. And I went to my first meeting that next week, and I stayed. I've never left. The reason I tried OA is because the 10 years I was in Al-Anon, I watched so many people recover in AA. And it was amazing to me the changes in their lives. And as a matter of fact, it was my first husband who had joined AA. So I watched him change. And I was so angry because he kept getting better and I kept getting worse. So I thought to myself, well, if AA works that good for alcoholics, maybe, just maybe, it might work for me and my food. So I started, and I met some really, my very first meeting, there was only one person there. And turns out to be somebody who I had heard about. So they were a community person. So, you know, if you've been like me, before you get into OA, you think everybody knows everything about you, and you have this persona about, I am a member of this community, and I have to act this way and be a professional and show myself as a mother and all the things that those behaviors you take on. But then there's this anonymous fellowship, and it's like, I met somebody out of the community, and it just amazed me. And then she shared with me in my first newcomer meeting, and I found like this whole new way of life. So anyway, I liked her. I liked the meetings. I kept going back. I started learning. And this was before the action plan had entered the program. So I found out about the tools. And I only went to one meeting a week. And it was face to face because it was 1996. And I learned, but I just like couldn't get it. And the whole thing with the food plan, I thought, yeah, I want a food plan, but nobody will tell me what that is. I wanted like written in writing, here's your prescription, go home and do it. But people said, no, that's not how it works. And so that was very elusive to me. And but what was good about it is that I learned the spiritual side of the program. I learned the emotional side of the program, and I kept being told if I just keep coming back, I'd eventually get the food thing figured out. Well, now let me go backwards in time of what my life was like and what happened and what it's like today. I was raised in a Catholic family. There were six children. I was second of six. When we were kids, we went to church every Sunday. And my dad is the one who was very spiritual. He really grabbed as a youth, he grabbed the Catholic faith and he practiced it and he talked about it. And he was a complete person that he was Wazi getting. What you see is what you get. So I learned a lot about faith as a child. And I also went to a Catholic elementary school. So I was seeped in this philosophy everywhere I went, at school, at church, at home. And that was really important because that's where I got my first awareness of a higher power, and it worked for me. And even as a child, I learned to pray as a child. I learned to turn things over to the God of my understanding. I learned to be selfless, maybe to a fault, but like to think of others and not just myself. So, I mean, it was something I learned as a youth, and it's very similar to what I do today because the principles are the same for me in my faith as they are for my program. But I do remember food being an issue as a child. I don't know what it was, but my mom was, she was an okay cook, but like the steak tasted like shoe rubber, or, it just, there was no flavor to it. And we sat down at the table and it was like we had to behave and stuff and eat everything on the plate, but then we didn't. And we were told we were going to get in trouble, but then we didn't. But it was just kind of weird around food. And I know that my favorite food was cereal or anything sweet. And so if I couldn't finish my food or eat my food at the dinner table, I always snuck in and found something sweet to eat. And not only was it like physically satisfying to me, it was emotionally satisfying to me. I can remember one time my mom went to the grocery and she came home. She used to come home with bags, and those were paper bags, like bags and bags of food, because there was eight people in the family, right? And I would sift through the bags to find the cookies. And I hope I don't trigger anybody by saying it, but the name of this cookie was Lorna Doones. And I would get that package and I would sit down on the couch, and it had the name Lorna Doone written on the cookie. I would eat around it, so the only thing left was a little Lorna Doone word. I mean, that's just, I had this weird thing with food, and I just, it was my friend. So television and food were my friends, because I liked to sit and watch TV as a child and eat my cookies and whatever, and that was it. In school, I was an okay student, but I was second in line next to a straight A sister, and I could never reach that standard. And it was not really said, but I felt it. It was like I was supposed to be just like her, right? I was supposed to be that straight A student too, but I was like an AB student with an occasional C. But in retrospect, the most important thing about that is I learned stuff. I mean, I learned how to cursive, which they don't even give in school today. I learned faith because it was a Catholic school. I learned how to read. I mean, I wasn't ever good at this stuff, but I learned it. I can really remember back learning things. But then there was this strange thing in my mind, like I was never good enough. I'll never be good as good as my sister. I'll never be as good as the kids who earned these awards and that award. But what I was good at was music. I started playing violin when I was in the second grade and French horn in the fourth grade, and I loved it. Music was my life. So at least I had something to hold on to for my identity that made me feel like I was, like I had it, like I accomplished something. Okay, so then it came time for high school, and instead of staying in a Catholic school, my parents sent me to a public school because they had a good music program, which was great. And I went to it. I loved all the music. I took all kinds of music classes. But I couldn't believe how the people react behaved. In the public schools, kids didn't listen. They didn't do their homework. They were so undisciplined. I could not, I mean, as that person, not as an adult looking back on them, right there in that room, my head was going, these people are nuts. These kids don't do nothing. This is crazy. So I guess that to me today says that the discipline of the OA program is not foreign to me, because I know discipline is an important part of life, and I'm grateful that I was raised with discipline. Well, anyway, I went to high school, did really well because I had lots of music classes, got lots of A's in my music classes, so that when I got a C in biology, it just didn't make that big of a difference in my grade point average. So I was a candidate for college. I didn't want to go to college because I was so afraid, and my parents made me go. And I remember sitting on the steps to the upstairs with my dad sitting on a chair across a little ways from me, and I said, "Please, Dad, don't make me go. Don't." And I just tried every manipulative trick I could to not go to college. But and he was the most kind, gentle person. He would just say something nice and then say something nice and say, trying to get me to accept this. And finally, my mom just came in and says, "You're going, shut up." So I went. So I ended up first, I being a violinist, I took class, I took private lessons, and I had to play a something to send to Cincinnati Conservatory of Music And I didn't want to do well. I just did my best, which was I knew not good enough. And I did not make it. I was so excited. Now I don't have to go. But then my music director said, you could go to Ohio State. So I did. I made it to Ohio State. I got there against my will, but after about 3 weeks there, I loved it. And I actually became a human being at that time. By that I mean I was my own person, made my own decision. Everything that I learned up to then, I used to my best ability. I had my best education on my intellectual experience ever. I was getting A's in hard subjects just because I could do it. I finally could do it. So I was very happy with myself. Let's just say that. Well, by the end of my 4 years, I met somebody who was the opposite of me. This person did drugs, they drank alcohol, they, did things that I never did, but I was curious. I met with them and I just went down the tubes. I graduated and I had still good grade point average, but it was only because I had all these other years to keep my cum up. Well, it turned out he asked me to marry him. So when I graduated, I married him. And we got married and we both had jobs. We said, whoever gets a job first, that's what we're going to move. We moved to Cincinnati. I didn't even take my job because I felt like I couldn't even do it. And so I just substitute taught and he worked. And we were like in this bad part of town because it's the only place that we could afford. We paid all our bills, but it was scary. And so, along with the story I'm telling you all these emotions that I'm having throughout my life. And I didn't know how to deal with them except to just grin and bear it. And food was not as big of an issue with me. I mean, by the time I got married, we ate well because I don't mean high on the hog, but we ate smart foods, healthy foods. And I had a budget, a very small budget. And I always went to the store and got the stuff that we needed. But I don't know. It was that body dysmorphia where I was thin. I shouldn't even say thin. I was appropriate weight for my age, etc. But I never thought it was good enough. I thought if I could just lose a little bit more weight and so forth and so on, I would be okay. But it was all about that not being okay. And I somehow thought that weight and looks were going to make me okay. So food was an issue. But I just did what I was supposed to do. Well, we actually did very well, my husband and I. He stopped doing all the crazy things, not all of them, but he stopped doing them to a large extent so that he could go to work. He was a good provider. I was a good wife. I learned how to be a good wife and mother by watching my mom. You just grin and bear it, you just barrel through, right? So we had our first child, and then we eventually. Well, like it was about 4 years in, we bought our own place in Kentucky, 7 acres of land. And we just developed the land and we figured it all out. We ended up having wonderful vacations. We bought a boat, we had a car, and then a truck. And then he was a hard worker and I was a hard worker. I mean, we were just finally by this time, we figured life out. We were just, checking all the boxes. Our child went to school. He was a straight A student. He was on the basketball team. I was able to transfer the money from our poor county into a rich county so that he could go to school in a rich school. I mean, he and I both thought the way to life is to be an accomplisher and get all the stuff. And so we got all the stuff to the point where we had cleared the land, put in a pond, designed and built our own house, had moved in. And then by this time, he was only drinking, he has no drugs. Drink became a real problem for him. And by this time, I had gone back to school. I got my master's education. I had my own teaching job. I was getting all these accolades of, best teacher this year and stuff like that. I really thought I had made it. But, every now and then I go, when does this stop? What do we do next? And he came to me and he said, and actually, I was sitting watching a video of our son who was in Project Descent, which was for gifted and talented kids, and he had just won this award. I'm watching this video, and my husband walks in the room and he says, I went to the doctor yesterday and I want to stop drinking. He's going to put me in a care unit. And I said, okay. And I just went right on watching the video. So what I thought was going to happen to him was he's going to go in the hospital, like a surgery, and have something taken out of him, and he'd come home, and then we'd move forward. And that was not the case. So in 1986, he went into a care unit, and I went off the rails. I just,
Eddie,
my
that's
whole,
15 minutes. And if you like, I can pull up your picture whenever you want it.
oh, you can put them on now. And I said, and I just had a nervous breakdown because he was my God. At that point, I'd given everything else up. So the first picture at the left, that's me graduating from, I just graduated from college and I'm with our firstborn. The picture on the right at the top, that's when we just built our brand new house and I was 110 pounds and I was like living, thinking I was it because I had reached every goal in my life. Then I had my nervous breakdown, and that's the one at the bottom. I was 170 pounds because food was the only thing I could use to take care of all that emotion I had deep down inside of me. Well, in 96, like I said, I found a way, and I found out that food was my problem in the sense that I was using it as a panacea, and that I had to stop doing that and start learning a different way. So I learned today, I learned about emotions. I learned what to do about my emotions. I learned about the spiritual side of the program. I learned to accept the fact that I have a spiritual side, which I learned as a child that was Catholic, but that's not what's important about it. It's the principles of the Catholic faith that give me my spirituality. And they're identical to the spiritual principles I have in this program. So that's great for me because I have this identity that goes through my entire life that stays with me as far as my spirituality. I'm open-minded now. This program has allowed me to look at every religion or no religion as being okay because it's just principles of life that guide everybody. My food is good. I have a good food plan. I got my really good food plan in 2019. First time I actually got a rook. Remember I told you at the beginning, I thought, hand me something so I know what to do. Well, I found that finally in 2019. And it works great for me. I have, oh, my life today. In all this time, I got divorced from my first husband. And then in 20, 2002, I got married the second time to a wonderful man. I live in this wonderful house that he had together. He passed away in 2019. He passed away, and I inherited all this. You talk about a life beyond my wildest dreams. I have this gorgeous house that I own. I live in a beautiful community, which I absolutely adore. And gratitude is my middle name. I know all this stuff. I believe all this stuff is a gift that I got. I feel like I got this from my husband because I was a good wife, because I followed the principles of the program. Did we argue about stuff? Sure, everybody argues, but we always found a way to solve it. I have wonderful grandchildren. I have an 8-year-old grandchild who I absolutely adore. We do all kinds of awesome, fun things. I had retired from teaching and then I started working a retail job. I'm going to be there for 20 years this year. I basically retired from it, but I work there part time and I love it. I love the people. I love my job. I mean, it sounds like, oh yeah, thank you. She's just a lala. No, I truly love this stuff. I love it because I got rid of all of the yuck from my past through the steps. I keep things clean on a daily basis. I go to usually 3 meetings a day. I read my literature whenever I need it. I have lots of fellows who are on speed dial on my phone. You
One
know,
minute.
I thank you. I garden. I love my gardens. I have some of the most beautiful pictures because that's God gave me these wonderful plants and I just take care of them, right? So I don't know. I can't say enough for OA and actually all the 12-step recovery programs because these programs save lives. They keep people out of the morgue just to start with, and then they give them lives beyond their wildest dreams. And I love going to meetings, and I love my fellows, and I love the camaraderie. And I guess that's it. That's me. Thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me share.